Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
But we're going to start today with the unfolding events in relation to secretly recorded Gartha tapes relating to the Gartha investigation into the murder of Sophie Toscan du Plantier. In the High Court earlier, lawyers for Ian Bailey highlighted what they called an extraordinary level of communication between Gartha and journalists during the murder investigation. 133 recorded conversations relating to the case have been uncovered. Mr. Bailey and his partner Jules Thomas are suing the state and Gartha authorities. Solicitor Frank Buttermer represents the couple in their separate actions. He joins me now. Frank Buttermer, good evening.
Good evening, Mary.
Can you tell us exactly what the state has given to you at this stage? Have they given you raw tapes? Have they given you transcripts of tapes?
The discovery process has taken two stages, Mary. The first is that we received, as it was confirmed in the High Court today, 12 boxes of material, the existence of which we knew about and which were, well, the material was confirmed to exist in an affidavit which we received in November of last year. We received delivery of those items yesterday fortnight. We had knowledge back in November that there was likely to be some other material which was electronic in nature. We didn't have detail as to what that was. It began to exercise public interest approximately, I think, two or maybe a week and a half ago when the existence of this matter was referred to in the Dáil and in other government quarters. We received confirmation on Tuesday of this week as to what that material actually is, and it is a series of taped conversations emanating from Bandon Garda Station, a list of which we have received, but the actual material has not yet been sent to us. It is apparently transcribed. It is available to be delivered to us. We have applied to receive it yesterday, having become aware of its existence on Tuesday. And we told the High Court today that we, as I say, wrote for it yesterday. The state are not claiming privilege over it. And we expect to receive that material, which is referred to in the court as comprising some 130 approximately taped items. We should receive that in the relatively near future. We don't yet know what it is, and we obviously will be, we're told that it is of interest, so we do look forward to reading it and, you know, sort of fitting it into the case overall, as it were.
So you don't know what's in the transcripts, but do you know who the conversations are between?
Yeah, we confirmed to the High Court today that there would appear to be a series of sort of three strands to it, which would appear to be communications internally between members of An Garda Síochána, communications externally between members of An Garda Síochána and witnesses, two named in particular, and communications between members of An Garda Síochána and members of the media.
Your senior counsel said today in talking about the list that you've received and the breakdown of that list in terms of conversations, that the contact between Gartha and journalists was, and I quote him, beyond belief. What did he mean by that?
Well, I think just that, really. We have alleged in our civil proceedings, which were, I must say, were instituted about 7 years ago, that there was inappropriate contact, in our belief, between An Garda Síochána generally and members of the media. We specified why we felt that there was such contact. What he is saying today is that, if you like, we have seen material which confirms the extensive nature of that contact, and we would certainly have felt, in terms of what we read into what we're seeing, although we haven't heard it yet, that it's going to be significant. And I suppose I can confirm that in the discovery material which has already been made available to us, there are other indications of quite extensive contact as well, not taped as such in the fashion which I'm referring to in terms of the tapes that are about to be discovered to us, but just general references to media contact. So it does appear as if there was a significant and indeed a very, very large amount of contact between members of An Garda Síochána and the media.
But isn't that just what you would expect to happen at a time? This was a hugely high-profile murder that took place in December of 1996. Journalists, not just from Ireland but from France as well, had come to West Cork. They were pursuing the case. So you would, in the course of events, expect a lot of contact.
You would, of course, absolutely. That applies to any criminal event or any event of general interest to the media. I mean, the media has to make its contacts to put out the news. There's no issue about that.
So what makes this different?
Well, we allege in our proceedings that there was a strategic interest on the part of An Garda Síochána in utilising the media, and there are two specific purposes which we maintain in our pleadings that they had in mind when they were utilising the media. Purpose number one was an evidential matter, and I'm under some constraint here in relation to the directions of the High Court judge, so I'll be very, very careful about that. But the second, and it's quite an obvious one which we have alleged, is that the fact of Mr. Bailey's arrest and indeed matters leading up to his arrest were strategically leaked to the media for the purpose of portraying Mr. Bailey as the likely party responsible in relation to this matter, to create an image in the minds of the public that this was the person who must have committed this heinous crime, so as that there would be an image of him in that respect, which we say strategically would be used by An Garda Síochána for purposes which we would say were improper.
So the journalists were used by Gardaí to spin a particular line. Is that what you're saying?
We have said it. It's in our public pleadings. We have said it, yes.
Now, something else you asked for today as well was access to information involving the identity of three senior Gardaí named in a document, I think, before the Supreme Court.
Yeah, this has been in the public domain again for some period of time. We received in an unsolicited fashion from the Department of Justice in the appeal against the extradition certain material which we had not known existed. In that material are certain memoranda prepared by the office of the DPP and the local state solicitor in West Cork, tending to show what we would allege, and which is stated in the memoranda, to be improper approaches by senior members of An Garda Síochána, whose purpose was to influence a decision on the part of the DPP. We have sought the identities of those senior members of An Garda Síochána by way of a discovery application to the state. The defendants in the proceedings have maintained that it's not a matter for them because the material, in fact, is the property or is in the possession of the DPP's office. We have confirmed to the court today that we have applied to the DPP's office to receive unredacted memoranda in relation to that matter so that we can identify those parties formally, so that we can see whether this whole information that we're looking for fits into the strategy which we believe was applied to generate the what we would call false image, false intention, improper intention to prosecute, and matters of that nature. We expect, or we would hope, that the DPP will respond to our request in the relatively near future in that regard. But that's, again, a matter we confirmed to the court today.
What can you tell us about the state position at this stage? Are they still fighting you on applications for discovery of documents and names and so on? Or have they now agreed to provide you with everything you've asked for and waived privilege on documents?
There is still a claim of privilege in relation to some material, and that's not unusual. It's quite extensive, Mary. For example, I'll just give you one example. It's again in the public domain. There was a report prepared by Assistant Commissioner MacAndrew in 2007, which was sent to the DPP in 2007 for consideration to be given as to whether there should be any prosecutions arising from Ian Bailey's complaint. At that point in time, when information came into his possession about the allegedly corrupt nature of this entire situation, that has been refused. We would be very interested in seeing that. And we've made the High Court aware again today that we would be making an application to the High Court for the High Court judge, Judge Hedigan, to rule on issues of privilege which are being claimed by the state. But I have to say that the material which has been exercising public interest in the last week approximately, that is this taped material, in relation to that, there is not a claim of privilege. Mm. The state are agreeable to make that available to us.
When will you have a chance to read those transcripts now?
Oh, immediately I get them, and we've applied for them yesterday. We'll be following up on it immediately. We're under the, I suppose, the scrutiny of the High Court at this stage. Judge Hedigan has said to us all that he wants a target date for this matter to go ahead, which I respect. And we're targeting, according to his direction today, something of the order of November of this year. But we're back before him on the 9th of May to confirm how we're progressing in relation to going through the discovery materials.
And when it goes ahead, it'll be a case heard before a jury, is that right?
That's correct. Mr. Bailey and Ms. Thomas have an entitlement to a jury trial in relation to the specific allegations of the kind that they're making. That was mentioned, confirmed to the court today. And, yep, so the, I suppose it should be fair to say that Judge Hedigan did make a comment at the end of the case, and I respect that, and I'm sure the state would respect it, that any detail of the case or any particular elements that are to be established evidentially should be treated in that fashion, that a jury will have to consider them in due course, and that whilst it's very, very fair to comment about this case in public because it exercises quite an amount of attention, that the comment should be, you know, not such as to cause prejudice down the line in relation to any jury, so that there will be a fair trial in fairness to both sides.
All right, Frank Buttermer, thank you for your time this evening.